In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come on, you may be seated. Well, the past few weeks we've been talking about hope. It's been a thing we wanted to do for August, just to talk about the letter to the Hebrews and in a lot of ways how that ties in with hope. And we've talked about why we have hope, what hope looks like for me and what it looks like to live in hope. And this last week, I wanted to touch on the question of what do we do when things feel hopeless out there? You know, maybe we might have a lot of reason for personal hope. You know, we might hold in hope for ourselves to believe in the resurrection. We might believe in the power of God. But what do we do when out there seems hopeless? Let me give you an example. Something I do in the morning, I've been told not to by several people, but I do it anyways. So I get up, I get something to drink, a glass of apple juice, and I look at BBC News or something like that, just to see what's going on. Did anything major happen in the world? Or is there anything major going on? And this morning, it was quite sad for me to read a story about an attack, a suicide bombing in the Middle East, of people gathering to mourn the deaths of people who were killed in another suicide bombing. So basically what had happened was there was a suicide bombing. Many, many people died. And they were there to gather for a funeral for those people. And a suicide bomber attacked the funeral of those people. Sad. Sad. We see stories like that a lot, right? We're almost becoming numb to them to some extent because we expect them day in and day out. And we might think, what's it like? What do we do when it just feels hopeless out there in the places we have no control over and it feels hopeless? So our letter to the Hebrews today, our portion from it, really the whole letter helps. It helps a great deal because we might not think of it on the surface, but the Hebrews were in a situation where it felt hopeless. Let me just explain. This letter was written to Jewish Christians, ethnically Jewish people who had come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. And it was written sometime after 70 AD. And why that year is important, I'll explain. So it was in the 60s, not the 1960s, the first 60s, 60 AD, when persecution of Christians began. Nero, if you know anything about ancient history, Nero, the crazy Roman emperor, blamed the Christians for a lot of his own just failings as a leader and administrative failings, and he used them as a scapegoat, and Christians began to be a target, those who believed in Jesus as the Messiah. Well, about 5 or 6 years later in 70 AD, the Jewish people had been constantly kind of pushing against Roman rule and rebelling. And Rome finally sent just the army in to Jerusalem to crush it. And they crushed the city. They burned the temple to the ground. They killed thousands and thousands and thousands of people, crucifying them along the walls of the city. In numbers beyond our comprehension, to make a public showing, to try to keep any insurrection from ever happening again. Death everywhere for that period of time. So if you were a ethnic Jew and a religious Christian right around this time, things might feel hopeless. Because not only if were you public enemy number one for your faith, you are now public enemy number one for your ethnicity. The two least popular people in Roman circles during this time were Christians and Jews. The empire that promised peace and freedom to all of them was starting to turn on them. And they felt hopeless. So the letter to the Hebrews is written to them to encourage them, to remind them of the power of their faith. And surprisingly, it does not indulge them in a pity party. You would maybe be hoping for more compassion to a group of people who are suffering from such persecution, but no. It is more a letter of encouragement to live the gospel. We see that in our reading. Let mutual love continue. That's our reading from Hebrews started today. Mutual love, brotherly love. You've all heard the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. There's a word in the Greek that means brotherly love, neighborly love, kindness, philos. And that's where we get Philadelphia from. That's what Paul or the writer to Hebrews is saying. Saying, practice that brotherly mutual love. Continue to do it. Show hospitality to strangers. They might be angels unaware. That's an interesting thought. They might be angels unaware. Have compassion with those who are suffering. Like you're suffering with them. Keep your marriage sacred. I'm paraphrasing what the letter says. But keep your marriage sacred. Don't fall in love with money. And don't be jealous, envious, greedy. Be content with what you have. Now you might think of all that's going on in these people's lives. Their emotional state. Why is this just letter for them everyday living in the gospel advice? Well, as scripture so often does to them, to you, to whoever might be wrestling with that hopeless feeling, it changes the question. Jesus does this all the time, right? He's kind of frustrating like this. When someone would go to Jesus and say, "Who is my neighbor?" He wouldn't really answer him. He'd just tell him how to be a better neighbor. Things like that. How many times should I forgive this person? And Jesus would tell them as many times as possible. You know, it changes the question and creates a different question. This scripture is doing the same thing. It's saying, yes, we understand things may seem hopeless and you are in a bad way. Here's the word from the Lord to you. Live as bearers of hope in hopeless times. That's what you and I are called to do. Live as bearers of hope in hopeless times. So even though the Hebrews could certainly be understood to have feelings of hopelessness because of their religion and their ethnicity, both being persecuted, the leaders of the church that are writing this letter to the Jewish Christians is saying, live as bearers of hope in hopeless times. Live the gospel, because you are the bearers of hope. When times seem hopeless, you are the bearers of hope. Don't expect it to come from an outside source. You are the bearers of hope because of this. And this is how our section ends today. After giving these tips, or they're not really tips, but this instruction for how to live the gospel, it says, remember what he said, he being the Lord. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Think about hearing that when you're a person who's being persecuted in your own country because of your religion and your ethnicity. And think about hearing those words, the Lord is my helper. What can anyone do to me? Live the gospel. Be bearers of hope. And then we have that famous verse that's so comforting, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and always. He was with our people before. He'll be with you now. He'll be with his people in the future. Live as bearers of hope in hopeless times. And that's really small everyday things. We want to do something amazing to try to change the world. And we're all wired that way to be significant and make a difference. But the reality is the biggest differences we make are in the everyday things we do for the people in our lives. We probably saw in the news this week, many of you did, two nuns who were killed in Mississippi. Some of you saw that story. If you didn't, let me summarize it for you. In Mississippi, there were two Roman Catholic nuns who were found dead. They were murdered. They had spent the past 30 years being nurse practitioners in a town about the size of Sheridan, with an average income of about $21,000 a year, where 40% of it lived under the poverty line and 50% of the town did not have health insurance. They were the only means of health care for most a majority of that town. And they did it day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out for years and years and years. And they were killed. And the only reason we really know about them is because they were killed. But they lived every day as bearers of hope in a hopeless world because of the promises of God. They weren't looking for hope to come from the outside and cheer them up. Hope came from the Holy Spirit within, and they spread that hope. And imagine probably countless people's lives were affected for the better because of those two. So the challenge for us and the Hebrews back then, as they were wrestling with this hopelessness, and what do we do when the world seems to be turning on us, turning upside down, when we don't feel safe, when we don't feel secure, when all the things we trusted in before are starting to fail us, what do we do? And the word is live the gospel. Be bearers of hope. Don't be hopeless because of what's happening out there. Be bearers of hope because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And how that looks is not in great acts of strength, but in small acts of love and compassion. Mother Teresa always said that everybody wants to do great things for God. God's not looking for a few people to do great things. He's looking for many people to do small things with great love. Same idea here. Same idea in our letter to the Hebrews. Live as bearers of hope in hopeless times. If you see or feel the world in darkness, that should confirm your calling to live as a bearer of hope. The hope we have because of the promise. He will not leave us or forsake us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Those words were probably challenging for the Hebrews because we want to be passive, right? We want to be passive. When things look hopeless, we want to sit back and say, woe is me. Woe is me. And the world isn't the same. The nation isn't the same. The town isn't the same. The church isn't the same. And I'm not meaning, you know, just specifically to us, but we think those things, right? Things change and we don't necessarily feel they're changing for the better in a lot of ways. Some of us might, but others wrestle with that. And we want to be passive in that. And Scripture calls us to be active. Jesus always pushes us to be active. And not to sit and think about who's being a good neighbor, but to be a good neighbor. And not to think about and just sit in hopelessness, but to be a bearer of hope by the way we live our life with actions of love and kindness each and every day as we live the gospel. Be a bearer of hope. I hope that, no pun intended, I pray that this week we would find opportunities to be bearers of hope, that God would open our eyes to see opportunities in our life where we could be a bearer of hope. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We could bear that hope in the world and make it a little less hopeless around us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.